John chapter 15, and we'll read it, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. This period of COVID-19 has been a challenge. I don't know if you found it a challenge, but I found it a challenge. Just to ask ourselves a question or two. If you look back at the time before COVID and you look at yourself now and the situation now, do you feel that you're as fruitful as you were today as you were back then? It's hard to maybe think that we're fruitful when we don't evaluate ourselves in terms that we customarily think of being fruitful in. But what does it mean to be fruitful? And what does this fruit bearing mean? And what are the secrets of this fruit bearing? Maybe we're used to a lot of service, and with the COVID-19 and the pandemic, we can't get out and serve in the same way. Maybe our schedule has been disrupted, and we don't have the same schedule of exercises, as it were, under these circumstances. But we have an opportunity every day to bear fruit to the Lord. So what is this fruit that we can bear? Well, this fruit would have to do with the fruit of the Spirit. They would have to do with having an exercise for the things of the gospel. Remember in Galatians chapter 5, we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So it's not possible, or it's possible for us to have these fruits every day in our lives, no matter if we're in a large company or if we're by ourselves or just with our family. The fruit of the Spirit should be evident in us. There should also be a desire within our hearts that is produced by the Spirit of God to proclaim the gospel to unsaved people, to live before them as a testimony. Yes, we don't see as many people, but we can still give out a tract, or we can still show our love for their souls by caring for them in some way or another. And we can still pray for people. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And that's what true fruit bearing is. It's really a work of God. God gives the increase. We can study God's word and share it with other believers. That is also fruit bearing when we have an exercise about encouraging somebody, sending them a text or a message or an email telling them about some verse that we've enjoyed that they too might enjoy. So sharing the word of God is another way that we can bear fruit in our lives. But in order for there to be fruit bearing that's significant and productive, we have to be attached to the vine and have the vine flowing through us. So let's look at what we have here in chapter 15. In terms of the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And this is one of the great titles, the seven titles that are associated with the I am term in the Gospel of John. I am the true vine. And that reminds us of who he is. He is the eternal God. He is the one who Moses would have found at the bush, who said, I am that I am, as that bush would burn and Moses would have that revelation from the voice as to what he should do relative to the people of Israel. So the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine. Now, what does he mean by saying he's the true vine? Well, Israel had been a vine or a vineyard, but they had not pleased the Lord. They'd fallen into disarray. And as a result, they weren't bringing glory to God. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine, he was the one who could reveal God fully and completely. And so we can rejoice in him and we can rely upon him, that he is the one who can supply our needs and he can make us to be fruitful for himself. We could do it through our own efforts, but that wouldn't be bearing fruit. That wouldn't be his fruit. His fruit is to be what is done through us. We sometimes focus on, are we doing enough for the Lord? But it's really, is the Lord doing things through us? Are we allowing him to lead us and to strengthen us and his power to flow through us? Because that really is what brings glory to him. Then he says, my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the vine, and there's a vineyard, and it is to be a fruitful place. God is wanting glory and fruit to be brought to him through the workings of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and my life. And it says God is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. And so sometimes God will deal in a certain way in order to make us more fruitful. And we don't sometimes recognize when God is dealing in our lives. And the purpose he's dealing for is dealing with us is that he wants us to bring forth fruit for him. So then in verse 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth fruit. Oh, sorry. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now, this is a little difficult verse to fully understand. But the idea of taketh away also has the idea of lifteth up. So it's not that the person is being taken away to never bear fruit again, but rather he's being lifted up, or he's being, the Father is, the vine dresser is dealing with him to put him in a position where he can be fruitful. And sometimes that means encouragement. Sometimes it means exhortation. Sometimes it might mean he corrects us in some way or another through his word. He's lifting us up so we will be more fruitful. And he's desirous that you and I would be fruitful. So the vine dresser can lift us up. What else would a vine dresser do in order to encourage and strengthen? Well, when he lifts up the vine, in these times, they would put sticks and stones, perhaps, if the vine was going along the ground, they'd lift it up, because if it was left on the ground, it would perhaps take a taproot and put it down into the ground, and it would develop attachments to the ground. Now, they would want the vine, they would want the branch to be separate from the earth, because if it got attached to the earth, it wouldn't be reliant upon the vine for its strength. It would be independent of the vine. And so we are to avoid those attachments to the earth. That is, we're to be separated from the things of the world. And those desires within our hearts should be towards the Lord and not towards the things of the world, because if they are, we'll soon be trying to derive our strength and our wisdom from the world and not from the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants us to be focused on him. He wants us to be drawing from him so that we'll be for his glory. So once the branch is lifted up, if the branch has a blossom, because a blossom would come in association with the production of fruit, that blossom would get pollinated and it would be fruitful. So from a practical point of view, the vine keeper wants to keep the branch lifted up so it will be fruitful for the Lord. And it will be fruitful in a natural way, if it's a physical vine and branch, or it will be fruitful for the Lord if it's a spiritual branch, as we are. And then sometimes it would be necessary for the vine dresser to prune the plant. There would be things that were not productive. Perhaps there's a little stem going off in one direction and stems going off in multiple directions. And those have to be pruned and cut off. And sometimes in our lives, the vine dresser, God, the Father, has to cut off things from us, because we can get so distracted by other things that we fail to serve the Lord and focus upon him. You know, these days it's easy to get caught up in this debate about anti-vaccination versus vaccination, this debate about how many cases there are and all of the complications of COVIDs. And as a result, I just had a message that I was reading. As a result, we lose our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's necessary for us to think upon him and to serve him. Then there would be little insects that might come in and attack the vine or the branch and ruin the fruit that might be growing. We've all had trees, for example, where there's been something that's come in and affected the tree in some way or another, so that it doesn't bear blossoms, it dies, it doesn't have leaves on it, it perhaps needs to be cut down. The vine keeper would make sure that those insects were purged out and they didn't attack the branch, so that it would remain fruitful. So God the Father is doing a work in our lives so that we will continue to be dependent and draw our strength from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to make sure that we're fully reliant upon the vine and drawing from the vine that strength that he desires us to give us. And that is something that comes from our reliance upon the Word of God, something that comes from our prayer life and being dependent upon the Lord, something that comes from when the Spirit of God comes into our lives and directs us and leads us, and he enables us and empowers us. It's not our strength that will serve the Lord and bring forth fruit. It's his strength working through us, and we must always remember that and be reliant upon that. So, maybe this pandemic in some way coming into your life and my life has been to prune certain things from us and from the way we live. Maybe it's come into our lives to make us more dependent upon our Lord Jesus Christ in different ways. Maybe when things are going well, we put our interests in all of the various curious things that there might be in the world, and we don't critically assess whether that thing is really good for us spiritually. Maybe if everything's going well and the business or the activity is going well and there's money coming in and so forth, we're not dependent upon the Lord for our livelihood. We're not exercised as much as we should be about whether what we are doing for the Lord in terms of spending our money, in terms of whatever it is really honoring to Him. But if there have been lessons that the Lord is trying to teach us, and the Father is bringing us into situations to teach us, we should look to the Lord to teach us what those lessons are, and we should be exercised about following those lessons in order that we might be fruit bearers. You see, first of all, it refers to bearing fruit. In verse 2, it refers to bearing more fruit. And then towards the end of our reading, it talks about bearing much fruit. And that's the progress that the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ would like to see in your life and my life, that we go from bearing fruit to bearing much fruit. Verse 3 says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Interesting that he uses the word clean here. He in two chapters earlier, there was a case where he was washing their feet, and he referred to one who was amongst them who was not clean because of the condition of his heart. He's saying, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." What is it that provides that cleansing? What is it that the Father uses to put us in the right condition? It's the word of God. And when we read the word of God and come to it on a regular basis, when we recognize it as the word of God and come with a desire to be taught and to follow that word, then we'll know what it is to be clean, to know what it is to be righteous through the word which he has spoken. And so in verse 4, he's bringing before us here the abiding that should take place between ourselves as branches and the vine. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." So if we are abiding in the Lord, we'll bring forth fruit. The Spirit of God will come into our lives just as that sap moves through the branch and energizes the branch, gives it life, brings that ability to produce the blossom and the fruit. That will happen in our lives when we abide in the Lord. But if we fail to abide in the Lord, then we will not have the power to bring forth fruit. Sometimes, you know, you do things and you think, well, that's something that really was the right thing to do, but yet there doesn't seem to be the blessing from it that one would hope. And that's maybe because we're not abiding in the Lord to the extent that we should. Now, the Father has his time to produce fruit in our lives, and we have to recognize that. But we also have to recognize that there's a responsibility on us to abide in Christ. And as we do, the exercises that we will have will be true permanent exercises, and the Spirit of God will be able to use those over time to accomplish his work and to produce fruit. Sometimes fruit might be produced very suddenly, and something small might produce fruit in the life of someone else. And that's wonderful when it does, but that's evidence that it's really not our work, that it's the Spirit of God working through us. And we must be sensitive to his leading and guiding every day if we're going to have that fruit seen in our lives. So we must abide in the vine. And if we don't abide in the vine, we really can't expect the Lord's blessing upon us. Now, the Lord is sovereign. He can use our words. He can use something for his purposes. And he is the one who determines whether the fruit is going to come in a particular situation. But if we want to be used by the Lord, it's important for us to be abiding in the Lord at all times, so that when the opportunity comes or when the need comes, we can be used of him. If we're out of touch with him and an opportunity comes, we won't be used by him. We won't have the words. We won't have the Spirit within directing us and guiding us. So we must abide in him and be dependent upon him. And he says in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So here he's saying that to produce fruit, we have to abide in him. And if we abide in him, he's going to abide in us. We'll have a consciousness of his presence with us day by day. So if we're trusting in him and abiding in him, we will have a quiet confidence that he abides in us. Are we sensitive to the fact that he is in our lives? He is living out his purposes in us. That's what his desire is. If we have that communion with him, we'll be conscious of his presence in our lives. Paul could say, for me to live as Christ, he knew that moment by moment, Christ was being lived through his life. And as a result, the purposes of God were being completed through him. And we too need to have that abiding in him, and so that he can abide in us. He desires to fellowship with us. He desires to work with us. We thought this morning about John the Baptist and his baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that baptism occurred, or before that baptism occurred, John protested a little bit about baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, because they were working together. The Lord was seeking fellowship with John the Baptist to fulfill the purposes of God. And he seeks fellowship with you, and he seeks fellowship with me, both as individuals and as members of an assembly, that we would show forth the purposes of God, that we would work together in accomplishing the purposes of God. So now, there has to be that fellowship one with another in order that we would work mutually with each other, that the purposes of God would be complete. So in verse 6, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So some might wonder and say, well, how does this relate to eternal security? Does this mean that a person who doesn't do the things that God desires is going to be lose his salvation? Well, we heard from our brother Derek as he went through chapter 6 that no, a person can't ever lose their eternal security. They can't ever lose the life that they've been given. In John chapter 10, we read, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So one cannot lose their eternal security. But if we don't abide in Christ, perhaps we can lose our privilege of serving, and we can lose our usefulness. Now, these branches, it would seem, were not true branches. They were not attached to the vine. Perhaps there were other types of plants growing, or there were other vines that would intertwine. But this branch was something that would wither. It would not have the light. It did not have life in it. It wasn't attached to the branch. And so men would gather them and cast them into the fire, because that was all they were useful for. Verse 7 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So now here's the person who's abiding, and he's saying to his disciples they are to abide, and his words are to abide in them. They're to know the words. They're to rely upon them. They're to trust in them. They're to joy in them and rejoice in them. And he's saying, if my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So asking what you will, what does this mean? Does this mean just whatever comes into our mind, we ask? Does this mean that we have a certain desire, a will to see something accomplished for ourselves, and so we come that our desires will be fulfilled? But no, if we're abiding in him, and if his word is abiding with him, within us, then we will have that sense of what his purposes are, what will bring him glory. And so when we ask, we won't be asking it as we have somewhere it speaks of consuming it upon our own lusts. We won't be asking just to please our own selfish lusts. We'll be asking things that will please the Father, things that will please the Son. And our prayers will be aligned with what the purposes of God are. And so he'll be accomplishing his purposes, and at the same time, he's answering our prayers. You know, sometimes we don't know exactly how to pray in some situations. Other situations, we know how to pray because Scripture instructs us. But sometimes there are certain things in life and we're not exactly sure what the purpose of God is, and we have to pray that the will of the Lord should be done, because we don't know what his will is. It's not clear to us. But we should be letting his words abide in us, so that more and more, as we mature in Christian experience, we will know more of the mind of Christ, and our requests will be more in line with what he wants. Maybe we sometimes look back and we say, well, we haven't had any prayers answered for a little while. Well, sometimes the Lord doesn't answer our prayers exactly when we think he should. Sometimes the Lord takes years and years. There have been people who have prayed for sons and daughters, and they passed away not seeing those sons and daughters saved. But those prayers still remain. And those prayers are being prayed by other people as well. And sometimes those sons and daughters have come to Christ and live for him after the godly parent has been removed. Let's not be discouraged in praying for something we know that the Lord has a desire in. He has a desire for the salvation of souls. He has a desire that every soul would live for him and bring glory to him. And if somebody has been placed in your family as a son or daughter, the Lord had a particular purpose for them as well as he does for you. And if we continue to pray for them, the Lord is able, if it's his will, to reach and save them no matter what situation they're in or condition they're in. So let's not give up in our prayers because the Lord hasn't answered them in the short term. Let's continue to pray because here's a promise. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The Lord is still in the business of answering prayer, and we should pray to him. Well, maybe we can take a quick look at verse 8 before we finish. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So here he's saying that if you abide in me, if you listen to my word and obey it, if you come to me in dependence and prayer, then the Father is going to be glorified. You're going to be bearing much fruit. Doesn't necessarily mean you'll see a lot of souls saved. Maybe you will. Doesn't necessarily mean that you'll preach a lot of sermons. Maybe the Lord will bless you through the words that you speak. Doesn't mean a lot of things, but it does mean that the Spirit of God will work through your life and there'll be more of Christ seen in you. And God's going to be glorified in that. And others, as they look upon you, are going to be encouraged. And they're going to see Christ in you. And they're going to appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ is as a result of your life. You're going to bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Let's be his disciples. Let's be his followers. We're not going to be like the original disciples who the Lord was speaking to at this time. But we can be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be those that listen to him and seek to do his will. And if we do, we'll also bear much fruit and bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. May this be the result of each one of our lives. We trust that this will be the case as we would close now in prayer. Our Father, we would come before thee at the close of our little gathering this morning. We thank thee for each thought we've had of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who is crowned with many crowns, who has been exalted to thine own right hand because he has pleased thee by giving his life at Calvary. Father, we thank thee for this one who moved amongst men and taught them thy words. Our Father, we thank thee for this one who we can abide in, that we can rest upon, and even this little virtual session we've had this morning is a step in our abiding in him. Our thoughts have been occupied with him. Our Father, we would pray that every day there will be times in our lives when we will be occupied with him and him alone. Our Father, we thank thee for this opportunity to come together. We thank thee for each one who has joined us this morning. We pray for thy blessing upon each of their lives. We pray that they might feel the reality of the Lord in their lives. We remember James and his work this morning. We pray that thou wouldst bless him. And we pray that thou wouldst bless the Sunday school that would follow. Father, we would thank thee for all that thou hast done. And we would look to thee that thou wouldst continue to give us help, even in these days when the pandemic is causing stress, and in these days when perhaps we feel that our lives are limited in some way. May we seek out ways to please thee and serve thee. Father, we commit ourselves to thee now in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.